We're going to be preaching a message tonight, which I've entitled, Who's in Charge? What I would like for you to do as I read this portion of Scripture, I would like you to think about who God is, how great He is. As we read it, look at what He's done and will do, and why He ought to be exalted. Who is in charge? We'll look at that in just a few moments, but I want you to listen as I read this. Listen with that thought in mind. Who's in charge? Psalms 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, played skillfully with a loud noise. And the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He had chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something? Every inhabitant of the earth, about 6 billion people, God says He looks from His place upon the inhabitants of the earth. It's an amazing thing. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all of their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Let's pray. Father, again today I want to thank You for just this portion of Scriptures. Just give us a little bit of a view of who You are and what great things You have done. And Lord, there's no doubt who's in charge. Lord, thank You for being the great and the true and the living God. Thank You for all You've done and all Your mercy and love that You bestowed upon Your people. Thank You, Father, tonight that we can depend upon You as we bring this message. Your power, Father, we need. Certainly pray for Jerry as he preaches tonight. God, help him and give him power that things will be done for the glory of God. We need it also here, Father. We need to hear from heaven. We need your help, Your blessing. We ask You for it in the lovely, wonderful, most precious, blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to mention to you a few scriptures in the start of this message concerning the fact that God must be exalted. The Bible says in Psalms 18:46, let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Bible says in Psalms 21:13, be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Listen again as we listen to Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. It's interesting there to me. He said, I will be. He may not be now, but he will be. The day will come when our God will be exalted and the earth will be full of the knowledge of God. That's what the Bible says. We believe that. Psalms 57:5 says, Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Psalms 89:16, In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. God's righteousness. Psalms 97:9 says, For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods, with a little g. There's only one God, one true God. He says in Isaiah, the second chapter, the 11th verse, The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Proverbs 14:34 says, Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As we start this message, I just want you to remember it's God that must be exalted. Amen. At all times. He's the only one worthy of it. We honor men, give honor to men as it's right to do, but God must be exalted. And I think sometimes we have forgotten who's in control, who's in charge. You know, I think you're like this. The Star Spangled Banner is played, and I don't know, there's something just kind of happens on the inside. I can't explain it, but it's just a wonderful thing. I love to hear it because it's our symbol. It's what we sing and remind us of what a great nation we have, what a wonderful thing that God has done, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful when we look at the flag and see it pass in a parade. I love to see the flag. It's a marvelous, wonderful thing, and it brings you to attention. But all of those things, and I'm thankful for it, but all of those things, we must be reminded, the only reason we have a nation like America is because of God. Amen. Because what he's done here. We wouldn't have this nation. Things wouldn't be good for us if it wasn't for God. You see, he's the true and the great and the wonderful, wonderful God. There was a article in the Sword of the Lord. It's been some time back. It was written by Lloyd Collins. He entitled it The Hand of Almighty God in American History. I want to just read you some excerpts from that. It said, Christopher Columbus believed in God. The log of his ship 2 days before he landed said this, we will continue until we reach our goal with God's help. Amen. He understood. He knew who was in control. Right. You understand? And then when they got to the shore, he said they fell on their knees and gave thanks to God. Amen. They knew why they were there, why they were safe. They knew who was in charge. We find also, he said, the first charter of Virginia in 1606 showed that one of their purposes was to bring to those in darkness the Christian faith. You young people, especially if you're in a public school, you're being taught lies. Yes, sir. That's right. This nation was founded upon the Christian faith and belief. And we know there was all other kinds of things mixed in. We know all that, but the purpose of it, the reason for it, was to have a place where the word of God could be spread and Jesus Christ could be honored. And certainly today, in most places in America, he is not honored. I'm saying to you, in our public schools, he is not honored today. And I hope always in our Christian schools, he will always be honored. We find in 1620, the pilgrims, before they landed at Plymouth Rock, they met in the cabin of their ship and drew up the Mayflower Compact. And it said in part, we have undertaken this little settlement of ours on wild and virgin shores of a strange land for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Amen. See, there is a purpose. There is a reason. You know why? They knew who was in charge.
Right.
They knew without God there would be no hope. See, they knew that. Then when trouble came from England and it intensified, the colonists met for the first Continental Congress in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia, 1774. The chaplain got down on his knees in the center of the hall, and all the members of that Congress kneeled around him, and they cried out in Jesus' name for help.
Amen.
Can you imagine it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our Congress done that? I'm not running our Congress down. I'm not running our people. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if they was wise enough to get around and every time Congress begun and begin a session of it, they'd just get on their knees and beg God for help in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
Amen.
But you don't see that. You know why? They forgot who's in charge. They don't realize that now. See, the evening before the Battle of Bunker Hill, Mr. Collins says, the army gathered and was led in prayer by Chaplain Langdon, who was president of Harvard College. Harvard College is nothing but a bed of liberalism today, but at that time it was a strong stand for God and the work of God. And they gathered together and they prayed. Why? Because they knew who was in charge. They knew without his help, they would have nothing. We find also that George Washington had crossed the ice-filled Delaware in 1776 and won the great victory at Trenton. He thanked God for the victory. Why? He knew who was in charge. There would have been no victory for George Washington without God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He knew. He understood. Here was a great man of our history. And he knew and understood that God must be the leader. God must be in charge. God must guide. During that same time, it is told that a farmer came home one day and told his wife, "The British are going to lose this war." She said, "Why in the world do you say that? How do you know?" He said, "Because I saw General George Washington today on his knees in the snow asking God for help and guidance." You see, he knew who was in charge.
Amen.
He knew without God's help there would be no America. There would be nothing like that. No victory for him without God's help. He understood that. You see, in days past, there's been great churches in America, small and large, great churches, who simply just believed that the Bible is the Word of God and that everything must go according to the Bible, the Word of God. And I say to you today that all across this land, there's places who do not, and churches who do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. I worry about us. I worry about each one of us. Because we say we believe it. We do. We proclaim it and we believe it. But many times when we find things in the Bible that steps on our heart, we fail to do anything about it. And yet we say and we claim we believe the Word of God. I'm simply saying I believe with all of my heart there's been great churches. And I know there's always been the wrong kind of churches. I know there's always been the wrong kind of people. I know there's always been sin. But I want to tell you, there used to be a group of people across this nation that just stood for truth. There used to be preachers who just stood up and stood for truth no matter what. No matter where it fell. They just stood for truth. Evangelists of old, riding sometimes the circuit rider evangelist, going through swollen streams to get to the next place that he was going to preach, would come not with a suitcase full of products to sell, but a heart filled with the power of God.
Amen.
We need evangelists.
Amen.
God-filled, God-empowered evangelists. It's a work that God has given certain people.
Amen.
But let me say, yeah, I've been preaching for 37 years. I've dealt with a lot of evangelists, and we have and some wonderful evangelists. Don't get me wrong. We have some wonderful men. But I want to tell you, that's a crew that needs to straighten up. They need to straighten up. They need to get back on, to come in and help a church.
Yes,
you come in and just help the church, not here to make a name for themselves or to get what they could get, but what they could give. See, we need that type of evangelist. We need men of God coming through this country that will just rise up and just preach the word of God. And is there some? Sure there is. Sure there is. Thank God for them, and I'm grateful for them. But I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot more just out there just trying to get what they can get out of it. You don't have to believe that. You do whatever you want. I've been in it for a long time. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm just saying, you don't. Evangelist's work is not to come in and butter the people up. The evangelist's work is to come in and stir the people up and stir their hearts for the work of God. You see, not leave and everybody say, "Oh, I hope you'll be back because we loved you and you buttered us up." No, no, no. If you want them back, it's because they preached the word to you and got things right. See, this old altar down through here is not a place just for fun. It's a place of repentance. Place to get right with God. Amen. And through the preaching of the word of God is how that happens, you see. So we need evangelists. We need preachers. We need a people who's filled with the power of God, you see. Not only that, in those days there was members that came to church because it was right to do so. Not because for any other reason, but it was right. I've pastored here for many, many years, and I want to tell you it's a blessing to have people whom I never ever had to go to their door and say, "Why wasn't you in church Sunday?" You know why they come? Just because it's right to come. Because God instructs them in the Bible, and they just hear. That's why you're here tonight. Here because it's right to be here. It's the right place to be, you see. And I want to tell you, they had a lot more of that back then than they do now. I see it. I've seen it for 37 years. I'm just telling you, folks. Wednesday night services in many places are being shut down. They don't even have them anymore. It's a shame. Wednesday night's an important part of the week, as you can see, as you feel too, because you're here to hear. Amen? Sure, because it's right, you see. And they came to hear preaching and to sing praises and to fellowship with God's people. They come to receive a blessing. Yes, they did, but they also come to be a blessing. Amen. You see, and that's what God's people ought to do and what they ought to be. You see, you know why we do that? Because we know who's in charge. Amen. See, I don't need any more than God to tell me that I'm supposed to assemble myself together. That's all I need. I need him to tell me that, then I need to assemble myself together. And I need to do it for the right purpose. I need to do it with the right spirit. I need to come to, yes, receive a blessing, but to be a blessing. Don't you believe that's right? Don't you believe that's correct? I believe so. You see, they knew who was in charge. I just want to say it. I've said this before. You've probably heard it before, but I want you to listen to me a minute. It's very serious a thing. We think the problem is the wrong thing. We look out here and we see this TV set sitting in multitudes of homes, millions and millions of homes across this nation, and we say TV is the problem. Now listen to me a minute. TV is not the problem. I'm going to tell you in a minute what the problem is. But TV is not the problem. We say sports is the problem. My goodness sakes, the sports arenas are filled on Sundays to the just so filled to many people. I don't even know how they count them. I don't know how they know how many there, but thousands of thousands of people are in these arenas, not just on Sunday, but other times. And we ask ourselves, you know, that's the problem. Basketball and golf and football and baseball and soccer and all these, that is the problem. Listen to me. That is not the problem. I'll show you in a minute, but that's not the problem. You see, I used to get so aggravated. They had this guy that would go to one of these sports things, and he would hang a sign out over the sports thing, John 3:16. Did you ever see that? That used to make me so mad. He was out there thinking that's going to be a witness. No, get in your local church and be a blessing.
Amen.
He just good reason for him to be out at the sports thing. Now you say, Brother Ross, then what is the problem? It's the heart of men. It's the heart of men. The problem is not sports. Listen to me. In all seriousness, if the heart of men were right, they'd have to shut the ball games down. Oh, yes, they would. They wouldn't be anybody go. If the hearts of people were right with God. You see, and it's not the TV. You see, I'm telling you, if the hearts of man is right, they won't be watching that stuff. See, it's not the TV itself, and we say all that junk on TV. Yes, it is. It's horrible. It's terrible. It's pitiful. I know all of that. But you know what? If our hearts are right, we don't have to be a part of that, and we'll not be a part of it. You understand what I'm saying? You see, we're looking for the answer the wrong place. You see, they'd have to close all that stuff down if we just get our hearts right.
Yep. Amen.
Amen? You see, we just don't realize who's in charge. We don't realize that God is in charge. And we don't realize that we're going to have to be accountable for all of that stuff. And we are.
Yes.
See, so the problem in our country, and I'm going to take you over to the book of Judges for just a few moments, and I want you to listen as I read in the book of Judges. Problem is, our country is similar to what it was back in the days of Israel. Judges, the second chapter. Sorry. I want you to listen as I read verse number 8 on down. Judges, the second chapter. We'll start at verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. That's verse 8, chapter 2. Being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. If you'll notice here, a new generation arose, and they knew not the Lord. I want to tell you, I believe that's what's happened in America. We have a new generation that knows not God, nor the works of God. That's why it's so important that a local church continue to go forward, and the people in that church and the young people in that church see great things from God.
Yes,
see God moving and doing great things. Because multitudes of churches across this land, you don't see that anymore.
Yes,
I asked an individual here a while back. He goes to a little church, which I won't mention or tell you who it was. But anyway, he just telling me he goes to this church. And I asked him a question. I said, just for my own knowledge, how long has it been since someone was saved in your church? And he just opened his mouth and dropped his jaw, and someone was saved. I said, yes, someone come to Christ to be saved, to be born again. How long has it been? Well, he said, I don't know. He said, I don't know. He said, what's going on? You know, these young people need to see on a regular basis people come to Christ. You're not, you know, it may not be every Sunday, may not be, but they need to see it on a regular basis. They need to see God doing things amongst the congregation, seeing lives changed. You see, because a new generation arises and they know not God. They don't even know what God did. We've tried to keep to some degree the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're not a perfect church. We don't have a perfect history. But I'm telling you, we need to keep before the church what God did way back there in the beginning of this church, and how he brought this church and established this church and done wonderful things here for us in Jasonville, Indiana. You need to remember that.
Yes, sir.
Our young people need to remember that.
Amen.
And never let them forget it.
Amen.
Amen. We need a heritage to give to them. You see, because what happened here is they knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. There's a lot of people who's never, ever, ever seen anything really done in their churches, anything except going to church. No people saved, not people not getting baptized, all of those things. You see, that's wrong.
Yes, sir.
We need to constantly see the great work of God and what God is doing, you see. And if you don't, you'll lose a generation that knows not the works of God. They know not the works of God. I dare say there's multitudes of people, maybe here in this church, I don't know, but I know there's multitude of Christians whom their children has never seen them at an altar praying, crying out to God for help, Their children has never ever witnessed that in all of their life. Now, I find that shameful. Children ought to grow up seeing the example of a mom and dad that from time to time just stepped out of their seat and walked to an altar and cried out to God for help. Amen? Don't you think they need that? Shouldn't that be an example to our children? Amen? Sure. Sure. I'm not talking about faking it. I'm not talking about putting it on. I'm talking about a real heart touch from God. You see. Amen? So we find also, and then he says in verse number 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. They knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods and of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. I'm saying to you folks that when we forsake the Lord, something's going to happen in our country. Now, I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. It's not going to be good. We look at this thing and we say, "Well, look at 9/11 and all of that." I honestly pray for President Bush every day. I beg God for his protection. I ask God to give him wisdom way above any that I would ever have or ever need. He needs wisdom, and those that work with him needs the wisdom of God. I can't even imagine being in that position. I really can't. He's over in Germany right now. I don't know how he keeps up the schedule except by the grace of God. He's going to Russia after that. But he needs wisdom, and I mean he needs God's wisdom. Amen. And he needs it terrifically. And I'm just simply saying to you folks, if we don't get back to the old-fashioned Bible, the Word of God, and doing what God says instead of just putting on a show, there's going to be trouble in America, deep trouble. I wonder sometimes, why in the world aren't we more attacks than in this country? Why isn't there more? Why should God bless us? Why should God protect us? Why should he do that? When 42 million babies have been slaughtered through abortion, why should he be good and gracious to us? Because he's good and gracious. But we don't give him reason to be. I'm simply saying to you, the day is coming, you see. The time is coming. So the problem is the heart of men. We've got to get our hearts right with God. See, I don't know if your heart's right with God. I'm not trying to condemn you or say your heart isn't right, but I want to tell you right now, the answer is getting our hearts right with God, and there'll be a lot of things changed in our life. Yes, amen? You agree with that? You believe that? You see, America, one man said, America, like Israel of old, has chosen the new morality, which is not new. It's what they did in Judges, the 21st chapter. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now listen to me, folks, just seriously. Don't America do that today? Isn't America doing that today? What is good in their own eyes? What they wish to do? You see, the thing that really bothers me is, are we Christians doing that? Are we doing that? Now, we say we believe the Bible. I believe we do. But listen, folks. Most in America do not believe that God is in control of human affairs, that he's in charge. They think they are. They will determine what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. I found out a long time ago, what God wants us to do is get his will and do it. Not our will and ask him to get on the bandwagon. Yeah, right. Yes. Most of the time, that's what happened. Now, listen to me. Just listen to me. It's serious business. Most of the time, we come to decisions. Well, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I do. And we even get God involved. We say, I believe this God is leading. But I want to tell you something. When God is leading, he said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God is not just throwing it out there and saying, well, do whatever you want. Choose this, choose that. No, you need the will of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You need to know exactly what God wants, what direction he wants you to take. He's talking about a way of life, the direction for life, because he said, in the way that thou shalt go. He said, I will instruct thee. Now, if God said that, that means he will instruct us. He don't just flip a coin. You get the instructions from God Almighty. You know he said, do this before you do. You understand me? You know God said it. He said, I'll guide you with mine eye. Was he lying? Of course not. I'll instruct you in the way you should go. Is he lying to us? No, he isn't. So he has to guide us. He has to direct us. He has to instruct us. And he will do that if we let him. But most of the time, we decide. We put it down here and say, you know, I think this is what I want to do. Most of the time, we choose the easy way. The easy way. You understand what I'm saying? You know why? Because it's easy. But I found out in life, 66 years, next August will be 67 years. Amen. I found out in life that most time God takes you the hard way. He doesn't usually bring us the easy way. I'm just saying that. I don't know about you. Maybe you found that he always takes you the easy way, but I've not found that. But I found this. If you wait on God, he will direct you. He will tell you how you should, in what direction you should go, the way that you should go. He'll guide you with his eye. He will do that because he promised it in his word. And God doesn't lie. Amen. And you'll know it's from God. You won't have to guess. May not understand it, but you'll know it's from God. Now, if you read Psalms 32, where that verse is found, 32:8, you'll find right before that, you find a man by the name of David getting right with God, his relationship with God. And then God said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Many people want to be wrong with God, not right with God, and expect God to just do what he says there in Psalms 32:8. Just instruct me. Just tell me. No, no, no. There's a process. We get right with God first so we can hear God, listen to God, right relationship with God, and ready to accept his will. No matter what that will is, accept his will. Amen? You see, and God will instruct us. And he will teach us in the way which we should go. He will guide us with his eye. Amen? You see. So we need to realize that God is in control. He's in control. Not you, not me, but God is in control, you see. You see, because we forgot God, back here in the scripture we read, they forgot God, they forsook God. The reason we forgot God, because we've forgotten God, we now have atheistic schools. You say, Brother Ross, you're always picking on schools. I ought to pick on them. They kick God out. You want to tell me it's all right to kick God out of something and then expect it to go right? How dare they have the audacity to kick the Bible out of the Word of God and kick prayer out of schools and kick prayer out of schools? How can they have the audacity to do such a thing? The Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for the sin of all men, and yet they have the audacity to say you can't pray in his name? Shame on them. I mean, shame on them. You see, that's where we're at. That's why we have atheistic schools today. Schools where he has been taken out. He's been removed. That's why we have rampaging crime. Because God's no longer in charge in their minds. He's not. Forsaken, God-forsaken homes where God is not even allowed to be a part of it. You don't ask God, what would you have us to do? God, how would you have us to guide our home and direct our home and discipline the children and do all things? God, you don't know anything about it. You just stay out. Once in a while at noon, we'll pray and we'll thank you for the food. And after that, just get on your way. We don't need you. That's basically the attitude across this land. I'm saying to you folks, that's why it's there. You talk about drugs and you talk about abortion and all of those things. Listen, folks, I realize those things are pitiful and horrible, but it's because of the heart of man the reason they're there. I'm not being smart. I don't take drugs. I don't need drugs. I don't need meth. Now, you want to know why? I know who's in charge. I'm not bragging. I'm not being smart. I'm not doing anything. I'm just simply saying, you don't either. You don't take drugs, do you? Why? You have God.
Amen.
See? We need God back in America, you see. And pornography. I know there's always been pornography. I always know. But it has got so bad, it is pitiful. It is everywhere. Why does people want to look at that? I want to tell you, I don't want to look at it. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to be a part of that crowd. I'm just telling you, by the grace of God, I'm not. Why? Because I have God. I don't need pornography. You understand what I'm saying? See, these things that I just mentioned are not our problem. They're the result of our problem. The reason these things are going on in America is because man's heart is wrong and it needs to be straightened out and come back to God, and then those things can go by the wayside. You don't need them anymore. Men today say, give us security, give us a government that will do everything for us. Government was never intended to take care of the people, feed the people, and take care of the people. They were designed to protect the people. Now we want the government to do everything under the sun for us and provide for us and take care of us and pay this and pay that. And you understand what I'm saying? You know why? Because what we've done is we put our dependency now on the government instead of God. See, God should be the one we're dependent on. He should be the one that we trust in, you see. So anyway, I'm saying to you, we've just forgot who's in charge. God's in charge. One man said this, too many of our people today act as if there were no God, no Ten Commandments, no prospect of a day of judgment, but only material and physical needs that must be satisfied on any terms. You see, there is a Ten Commandments. And they're as real today as they ever have been. They're God's law, and God expects us to follow them. Yes, he does. Ten Commandments. There is a God, and there is a judgment day. No, there is a judgment day. I believe, and I preached that sermon, you live with your eye on the judgment seat. You and I better live, and everything we do better keep our eye on the judgment seat, so one day we'll have to stand at judgment. No, if you're saved, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ where rewards are handed out. But I'm just saying to you, we're all going to stand at judgment. So shouldn't we keep an eye on the judgment seat over here and live accordingly? Sure we should, you see. You see, Israel would prosper when they lived by the word of God. And then immorality and unbelief would set in and God would judge them. You know the history of Israel. The book of Judges tells it completely. And then God would send them into captivity. Why do we think for one moment that if we continue in the way we're going, there's not going to be captivity of America? Why do we believe that? Is our trust in our military might? God can take that down in a moment's time. Oh, you say, no, we're too bad. No. You forget God. See, Israel thought they was powerful too. I'm saying to you, there's a day of judgment, and there's a day when God deals with sin. Amen? You see, so we need a spiritual awakening, I believe, before God brings us to our knees with his chastisement. I believe it's on its way. I really do. I believe that in my heart. I believe that. I believe things are coming. God's going to let us be chastised terrifically. God will bring us to our knees if we don't get right with God. If we don't turn our hearts back to God, you say, oh, no, everything's going too good. I got a good job, and everything's going fine. America's good. Economy's good and all this. Stock market's up. Hey, don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. When God decides to act, God will act. Amen. See, God has a plan. I want to just read it. You don't have to turn there, but listen to God's plan. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's God's plan.
Amen.
Now that's God's plan. You understand? That's God's plan. He's in charge. Amen?
Yes.
He's in charge. That's God's plan. Now, are we going to listen to God? Are we going to pray? Are we going to humble ourselves before the Lord? Are we going to seek the face of God, turn from our wicked ways? Are we going to do that so that God can forgive our sin and cleanse and heal our land? Are we going to do that? Well, it's His plan. That's the way it's going to happen. Amen. We better remember God is in charge. And God is in charge in salvation too. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. See, that's God's plan, and no one's going to change it. If a person's not born again, they will not see the kingdom of God. That's just because that's God's plan. He's in charge. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, if you're here without Christ, it'd be a great evening to just get saved. Give your heart and life to Christ and get right with God, because that's His plan. There isn't any other plan, no other way of salvation, none whatsoever. And God's plan for a nation that's walked away from Him. Sometime go back to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, in that verse I read, 14th verse. But read all around it. It's tremendous, tremendous portion of Scripture. And it says what He did to Israel and why He did it to Israel and what the plan was to bring them back to God. I'm saying to you, maybe you're sitting here and saying, Brother Ross, I'm not away from God. But I want to tell you, is our nation away from God? I want to tell you, the prophets of old were judged also and had to face some of the judgment just simply because they was from Israel. Not that they was doing wrong, but they was just part of it. I'm saying to you, Christians think they've got it made. They think they are not going to have to face any judgment. They're not going to have to face anything. Folks, just because we're Americans, we're here in the midst of this filth. And when judgment comes, it's going to rain on the unjust and the just alike. Amen. So I'm saying to do our best to get things right with God, to get back to God, and realize that He's in charge. Amen. Get our individual lives like that. Amen. Now I want to just challenge you tonight to do something. I just want to challenge you. Would you say to the Lord, could you say honestly to the Lord, would you maybe come to an altar of prayer, maybe say in your seat, I don't know what you want to do. Would you be willing to say to the Lord tonight, You are in charge of my life. You're in charge. Now, I'm serious. Now, I'm not talking about just saying it. I'm talking about in by heartfelt conviction. God, You are in charge. Whatever You want, I am absolutely willing to do. Not my will, but Your will. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to give yourself to the Lord tonight to say absolutely that and be willing to do it and follow through with it? Because that's what it takes.